All right, so I bought my practice 1 year out of school. I'm going to tell you my story. I'm going to go through some of the pros and cons, and then stay till the end of the video, and I will let you know if I recommend that you do the same. So coming out of dental school, I knew that I wanted to be a practice owner, and I had already been talking to some of the practice brokers in my area, and I was looking around to see what was available, and I didn't find a practice that I liked coming straight out of school. So I did get a job as an associate. And overall, I think that was a good experience coming out and working as an associate for a year before I bought my practice. Some things to keep in mind are that banks, they want to see that you have some sort of production history, and they also like to see that you have something like 50 to 75,000 saved up. And coming out of dental school, I absolutely did not have 50 to 75,000 dollars in my bank account. So that right off the bat would have made it more difficult to buy a practice immediately. When I first graduated from school, I was ready to get working, and I didn't actually have my dental license yet because in my state it takes about 5 to 6 weeks to get your first license. So I actually found an office to work at, and I started out working kind of like a dental assistant actually for my first, 3 to 4 weeks at this practice, which is okay because I got to learn about how the office was run. I got to work at the front desk some, and I got to understand how the practice management system worked. And eventually I finally got my license and started working as a dentist. However, this office that I was at, there were two other dentists there, and these dentists were working extremely hard. In the previous year, one of the dentists there had produced $2.5 million. And the other dentist had produced something like $1.8 million, which, like, that's a lot. So they were working the entire time they were at the office. They literally never had any time to go sit down and, play on their phones or whatever. They were constantly working on patients the entire time they were there. Now, they only worked 4 days a week. So it's possible to produce $2.5 million working 4 days a week. And this office, like, it was a nice office, but it wasn't like super fancy. So I suspect they had their overhead something like 50%. So the dentist that was producing 2.5 million, he was making like something like 1.2 million per year in net profit. So that's pretty good. The good thing that did for me was it showed me how to work fast. Coming out of dental school where you're seeing two patients a day at maximum, sometimes just one. And then all of a sudden, I was in a clinic where these dentists were producing like $2 million a year, seeing like, 20, 30 patients a day. They would do like 15 crowns in a single day. Like these dentists were working hard. They had a system to where rather than have like a full burr block of like tons of different burrs, they had like four burrs that they used for all their procedures. They had everything systematized where they could sit in the chair, get to work. They had four hygienists working there, sometimes five. They had like a temp that would come in sometimes. Like they had a lot of patients. They were doing hygiene checks. Because they were so established in this practice and had so many patients, it was kind of hard for a new dentist to come in because while they were doing these crazy high production numbers, I felt like I wasn't really getting that many new patients and wasn't getting that much work. So I decided to get a different job where I was the only dentist in the clinic and I was working at a Medicaid clinic. Now, with a Medicaid clinic, you're going to be doing procedures at a very high rate, but you're not going to be getting paid as much per procedure. Most dentists don't work at these types of clinics for very long, but it can be a great way to really see a lot of patients and get your skills up. At the clinic that I was at, we worked with expanded function dental assistants, and in my state, they are able to place fillings. So basically, I was prepping teeth and doing hygiene checks, and then the assistants would come in and do the fillings on these teeth. And now these are on kids. These are, 18 and younger. Most are 14 and younger. And so a lot of the fillings were on primary teeth. I don't know if on an adult with permanent teeth, I would trust an assistant to do the filling. I mean, if it's an assistant that's been doing it for a long time and is really good, they might be doing it as well as a dentist. But nonetheless, I was able to get my speed up. There were some days that I saw more than 100 patients in a single day. Now, I wasn't doing procedures on all of those. Like maybe 40 of those would be patients that I was actually doing fillings on, and, you know, the other 60 would be hygiene checks. And the days that we had, you know, 100 plus patients, there would generally be a second dentist there as well. And so it wasn't just me. But the point is I was doing a massive amount of work, and I really got to where I was able to, you know, do preps and do crowns and do fillings and hygiene checks very quickly. But the key was that not only are you able to do them quickly, you want to make sure that you're actually noticing everything, because it's only the things that you treatment plan that you're going to actually get to do and get to actually get the production for. So it's important that you get quick with your hygiene checks, but that you're also treatment planning as many things as possible, and that you are very blunt and clear with the patients that they need this treatment, or they might lose all their teeth. In that clinic that I was at, it was not uncommon for people to come in, you know, maybe a 17-year-old who had decay on every single tooth in their mouth. It's not uncommon that you'll have a patient come in that has decay on literally every tooth in their mouth. And you have to decide, which teeth are we going to extract? Which can we do fillings on? Which can we do endo and then a crown on? Which are for sure going to have to be extracted and implants? You know, at some point, the question is, do we extract all of these teeth and do a denture? These are the kind of things that you need to be able to make a very quick determination on what you're going to do. And then you need to be very convincing to the patient, letting them know that you've thought it through and this is the best treatment for them. So between those two initial associate jobs, I really learned how to run a dental practice profitably. I learned how you can work quickly and how when you treatment plan properly, you're able to get plenty of treatment to fill up your schedule and produce high numbers. Working as an associate, I think I made about $200,000 that year, which is pretty good money. It's kind of around average for an associate dentist. So, you know, it's not anything to complain about. But because I had started at that office where I'd been working with dentists that were producing, you know, $2 million a year and taking home half of that, I knew that I could make so much more if I was a practice owner. So the entire time I was working at my associate job, I was also reaching out to practice brokers. I was learning everything I could about how practices were run and learning about the numbers, learning about the practice metric reports, and I was doing everything I could to be prepared to be a practice owner. Now for my first practice, I had a certain city that I wanted to live in, but I had a really hard time finding a practice that was for sale in that city. And I'd been looking for a while, and I just wasn't finding anything. And so I actually decided to change my strategy, and I started looking at a little bit more of a broad radius where maybe I would have to move, you know, a few hours away, but then I might be able to find a much better practice. And once I did that, I found so many practices that were for sale. Now, the first practice that I really tried to buy, I put an LOI down. I started out in the due diligence phase, and that practice actually didn't work out for a lot of reasons, some of which were the fault of the seller and some of which were my fault. And the reality is this was my first time doing it. There were a lot of things I didn't know. Had I had someone guiding me through the process, I probably would have been able to do better on that first attempt, but it didn't work out. And so I went back to the drawing board, found another practice, this time through a practice broker. And it was a kind of a diamond in the rough type practice where the previous dentist had really been slowing down before he retired. And so while he had been producing a lot, you know, 10 years ago, towards the end of his time practicing, he really wasn't doing that much. But the great thing about it is, once I got into that practice, there was so much treatment that had been undiagnosed just because he'd been getting lazy and hadn't really been treatment planning everything. And so I saw so many things my first 6 months, the first cycle through the hygiene of, you know, so many crowns that needed done, so much work. I went from making $200,000 a year as an associate to my first year of practice ownership, I made $700,000. So practice ownership is absolutely worth it if you do it right. You want to make sure you're buying the right practice. When I first started running the practice, there was a lot of things that I didn't know how to do. So I actually hired a practice coach to help me figure some of these things out. I think I was paying like $3,000 to $4,000 a month or something for this practice coach. And it might sound like a lot, but when you're a practice owner, there are so many expenses that $3,000 to $4,000 was absolutely worth it, because they helped me get this practice in order. They helped me set things up the way that they needed to be set up so that I could be profitable. And that $700,000 that I made, that was after paying, you know, any fees to the practice coach and all the other expenses that the practice was incurring. So 100%, if you start out in practice ownership and you're not sure how to do something, don't be afraid to reach out for help, because there are other people that have gone through this before you, and they can help you implement things so much quicker, and you can learn from other people's mistakes rather than having to make those mistakes yourself. But the great thing about being a dentist, especially a practice owner, and especially a practice owner who bought a practice that already has an established patient base, is there's actually a lot of room, a lot of margin for error. Dental practices are so incredibly profitable, and there are so many people that have teeth and that need dental treatment, that you can make some mistakes and still recover and still do very well. Like, I made plenty of mistakes, but I still made more than three times what I was making the previous year as an associate. One of the biggest challenges that I faced when I bought this practice was the office manager for the practice did not stay during the transition. And I didn't even have the opportunity to try to convince her to stay, because before I even bought the office, she had already accepted another job with another dentist. So I absolutely started out in the deep end. I had to find a new office manager right away when I started out. And that was actually pretty hard. I had to learn how to interview. I had to learn how to, you know, put a job on Indeed. I also was reaching out to some other dentists in the area to see if they knew anyone, you know, just looking around for people. I eventually found someone and it worked out. And like I said, I hired a practice coach that also helped me kind of through that process, which was a great thing to have. Luckily, the hygienist, now she had been at that practice working with the previous dentist for, I think it was like 25, almost 30 years. So she had a ton of relationships with all the patients that were going to this office. And so luckily she stayed, and that was huge. She was like the main reason that the practice was as successful as it was, is because the patients were coming to see her. They didn't know who I was, but they knew who she was. And because she trusted me, the patients trusted me. So let's talk about some of the pros and cons of buying a dental practice, you know, this soon out of school. We'll start with the cons so we can get those out of the way. The first con is the responsibility. And I'm not sure if this is necessarily a con, but it's just a reality of life. You've been a student your entire life up until now, and then maybe you work a year or two as an associate, but as an owner, you're responsible. Like, if something breaks, you need to either fix it or find someone to fix it. The hygienist, the assistants, the front desk team members, they're going to be relying on you to pay their payroll every 2 weeks. If you are the owner of a practice, you're responsible for that practice. So there's a certain level of change that's going to come when you go from being someone who's kind of been a passive, you know, bystander going through dental school to all of a sudden being an active, in charge boss of a business. The next con with being an owner is that it is more difficult to move. When you are an associate, it's pretty easy to leave a job. Usually you agree that you're going to give them, you know, 2 to 3 months notice before you leave so they have time to find another dentist. You know, you don't necessarily have to do that, but it's kind of rude to patients if you just leave and then they have to reschedule all those patients. So, you know, ideally you're going to give them a little bit of notice before you leave. But when you're a practice owner, if you want to move, you have to sell the practice. Now, the reality is this is not that big of a con, because you can sell the office and move. I actually did with that first practice. I wasn't at that practice that long. I actually sold it a little bit over a year after I first owned it. And it wasn't that big of a deal. And like, the truth is, I actually made a really good profit from when I bought it and when I sold it. Had I been working as an associate during that time, I wouldn't have gotten anything when I left. But because I had built equity in a practice and I had grown that practice, I was able to resell it for more than I paid for it. I'm sure there was an element of luck with what I did, but it was also a lot of hard work that I put in. But mainly, you just need to be prepared that when you are the owner of a business, it's a little bit harder to transition and move out of it. Not impossible, but it's going to be more difficult. Now, the third con that I hear a lot of people mention, I actually had someone leave a comment on one of my videos not that long ago talking about this con, is the risk involved. The idea is when you're an owner, you're taking on the full risk of the business. The key with this is if you buy a practice, I'm not talking about a startup, because startups can actually be pretty risky. I know quite a few dentists who have done startups, and while their businesses didn't fail, their businesses just didn't grow to a level where they had much of an income. You can get into a position where you're a practice owner, but you're making less than you were making as an associate. And that's the problem with startups. But when you do an acquisition, and when you do acquisitions right, you find a practice that has already been established for, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and there's patients that have been going there for a long time. You have a track record, a history of the production that's been done at that practice. And when you take over, you have all these patients that are just ready to be treated by a new dentist. And not only can you usually maintain the production of the dentist that was before you, but in almost every case, you end up increasing the production higher than what it was when you bought it. So the risk involved really, really is reduced when you buy a successful business. You want to make sure you're buying the right business, and the risk is so much lower than if you do a startup. The truth is, I think the real risk is that you're going to be too afraid to become a practice owner, and then you're going to work for years and years as an associate, making substantially less money than you would have been making as an owner. And so that's where the real risk is. If I had stayed at that job where I was making $200,000 a year versus buying the office and then making $700,000, like, where was the risk there? The risk is, had I stayed at that other business, it would have taken me 3.5 years to make the same amount of money that I made in 1 year when I was the owner of a business. So those are some of the cons of reasons you might not want to be a practice owner. Honestly, the only con that I think you should really think about is just the making it more difficult to move. If you're in a situation where maybe your spouse is about to go back to school and you're going to have to move, or for whatever reason you don't know if you're going to be staying in that area, it's probably best just to work as an associate a little bit longer until you figure out your life. But if you are in a situation where you know you want to be where you are and you have a pretty consistent, you know, future planned out ahead of you, then absolutely you should be a practice owner. So now let's get into the advantages of owning your own practice. Now, we've talked about the money. We'll talk about that a little bit more, but probably the biggest advantage of being a practice owner is control. Now, we had talked about the responsibility that comes with being an owner, but along with that responsibility comes control. And that means that you get to set your schedule however you like. I know very, very few dentists who own their own practice and work 5 days a week. Most are working 4, if not 3.5, 3 days a week. When you are the owner, you get to set the schedule however you like. I know a dentist who he prefers to wake up early in the morning and then finish early in the afternoon. And he's a golfer. And he's golfing all the time. I think he starts at like 6 and finishes at 3. But he has his last patient finished at 3, which means oftentimes he's out of there by 2:30. I know another dentist who doesn't like to work 2 days in a row. He likes to have a break after each day he works. So he actually works Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, which, hey, that's an interesting way to do it. I've also met someone who really likes to travel. And so he does week on, and then he generally takes a week off, and then he does week on, week off, week on, week off. And so that means on his week off, he has 2 weekends a week. So it's like 10 days or 11 days where he can go traveling, doing whatever he wants, and then he comes back and he works for that week. In this case, he has a business partner, so that makes it a little bit easier to take the entire week off. But when you're an owner, you can set up your schedule however you like. You do the things that you want to do. I've talked to some dentists, and this is particularly true with female dentists, who say, well, I want to make sure that I'm available for my family, and I don't want to have that added responsibility of being a practice owner. The thing is, when you are working as an associate, you are still responsible to be at the office from 8 to 5 or whatever the schedule is. When you are a practice owner, you get to make the call. You make the shots. And if you decide that you want to take a day off, you just tell your front desk to reschedule those patients. If you have a kid that has a soccer game that you want to be to at 3 o'clock, you just say, hey, I'm not going to work after, 2:30 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And you just tell your front desk, hey, you're going to have to reschedule people who are on the next few Tuesdays and Thursdays after 2:30 because I'm not going to be here. And you are the boss. You're in charge. You can set your schedule however you like. Especially once you become established, patients, they want to come and see you, and they're generally pretty receptive if you say, hey, sorry, I can't be there because my son's soccer game. A lot of these patients, they're going to understand, and they're going to be fine coming in, on Wednesday instead of Tuesday. When you are working at like a corporate office or working as an associate for someone else, you oftentimes don't have that kind of flexibility, especially when you're at somewhere like Aspen or some corporate office where the hygienist is doing scalings, et cetera, and they have to have a dentist in the office. You can't just leave. They're not going to reschedule patients for you. You can go to that, to your 25-year-old office manager and say, hey, can I take this afternoon off? And she's going to be like, no, you can't, because we need you here. Another thing to keep in mind is when you own a practice, you can't be let go. You can't be fired. If the office closes, it's because you're choosing to close it. It's not because someone else has decided this for you. The amount of control and the amount of stability that comes from being a practice owner is so much greater than you're ever going to find as an associate or working for a corporate office. The people that you work with is going to make a huge difference on how much you enjoy your job. If you are working as an associate and you come in and there's some assistant that you just don't get along with, then that it stinks for you because you don't hire the employees. You're not the boss. You're not in charge. You just have to work with whoever's there. When you own your practice, you can hire who you want to hire. You can hire people that have personalities that either complement yours or help other ways in the practice. Maybe there's a certain aspect that you personally feel like you're weak at. You just hire an employee that's able to do that thing instead. Another aspect of working at a dental office is the layout of the office. When you're the owner, you get to lay out the office in a way that you like. Maybe you like listening to music. You get to choose the music that's playing. Maybe you don't like listening to music, and you're at an associate job and they're blaring music and it's like it's giving you a headache, but it doesn't matter because you're not the boss. You don't get to pick what music is playing. When you're the owner, you get to decide. Maybe you like the walls to be a bright color and, make the office feel very clean and open. You can do that. You don't have to work in some dark office that some other person decided they liked. Maybe you do like the dark office. Maybe when you have bright walls, it gives you a headache and you like to have a more relaxed environment. That's fine. When you're the owner, you get to set up the office however you like. Honestly, that was probably one of my favorite parts of owning my initial office, was getting to redesign the office. We did a whole remodel, and I got to set it up exactly the way that I liked. And, that was a lot of fun. Now, the next advantage of being an owner, which, we've already touched upon, is the pay. You just have a potential to make a lot more money as an owner. As an associate, your income's going to be kind of fixed. You're probably going to be working on production. You're going to have a little bit of wiggle room, trying to do a few more procedures. But as an owner, there's literally no limit to the amount of money you can make. I have dentists that I know that are making more than $1 million a year. And those are dentists that are working by themselves. They don't have associates working for them. I also know a dentist. I don't know exactly how much he's making, but I know he has 6 dentists that work for him. If I were to guess, he's probably making $4 to $5 million a year. I think he has something like 15 different hygienists. He has multiple offices, and he has one office that's like a huge office that gets like 200 new patients per month. This guy's making a lot of money. You don't have to make your office that big. You don't have to do that. But you have the choice to. As an owner, you can have whatever size of practice you like. Maybe you like keeping it small. You know, I know dentists who they work like 2.5 days a week, and they're still making more money than I was making when I was an associate. So overall, the pay as an owner is very good. Now, the other thing that you want to keep in mind is that when you own a practice, you're going to be able to resell that practice to someone else at a later date. And if you are able to grow that practice, you're going to be able to sell it for more than you paid for it. So owning a practice is basically like having an investment account. Every time you pay off the practice loan, you're putting money into this asset that you're eventually going to be able to resell to someone else at a profit. Equity in a business is something that you just don't get at associate jobs. Now, I do know of a few DSOs that claim that they're offering you equity in the business and that they want to make you part owner of the business. And I would stay clear of that. That's not really ownership. They're doing that because legally they need to have a dentist as the owner of the practice. And they claim that they're dental service organizations. They don't actually own the practices. The dentists own the practices, but they're the servicing organization. Now, I do know a dentist who is successful at this, but I think she owns like 20 or 25 practices. So she's making a lot less per practice than she would be making as, you know, an owner of a smaller practice. But because she owns so many of them, she's made some money that way. But if you're given the opportunity at an associate job to buy like 20-25% of the business, that's basically worthless. Don't do it. You can't resell that the way that you can if you own an entire practice. They usually have, you know, a type of clause that you're signing where you have to own it for a certain amount of time. And if you want to resell it, you have to sell it back to the company and they get to set the rate. So it's not like when you're selling a practice on the market is going to determine how much it's worth. When you're working with one of these DSOs and you just own a small percentage, it's not a market rate. They just set the rate and that's how much you can get for selling back your portion of the practice. Basically, this is just a trick that they use to keep dentists working longer at their associate jobs. They feel like they can't leave because they own part of the practice. But the reality is they really don't own anything and they have just kind of fallen for a trick and now they're stuck working as an associate at a corporate office. Now, the final advantage of being a practice owner is that you have the opportunity to work less clinically and spend some more of your time working on the business side of your business. And, you know, for me, that was absolutely a pro because I really enjoyed the numbers and I enjoyed learning about the business. And, you know, it's nice to have something to do other than just see patients. When you're an associate, the only thing you're doing is you're seeing patients. You're doing, you know, crowns, fillings, hygiene checks, crowns, filling, hygiene checks. You're doing the same exact thing day after day after day. And, you know, at least for me, that kind of gets old. As a practice owner, you know, you're still doing a lot of the same procedures, but you also are adding in different elements that you are working on every day that keeps things interesting. You know, you're working on, you know, maybe you're hiring an employee, maybe you're setting up some new software, maybe you're working on the remodel of the front office. You know, there's always something going on that keeps you interested, gives you something to do, gives you something to think about other than just seeing patients. Now, sometimes when you go to work for a DSO, they kind of say, well, the reason it's advantageous to work for us is that you can just focus on the dentistry. And, you know, that sounds nice at first, but the reality is once you've done dentistry long enough, it kind of becomes easy and boring. And it's actually fun to have something other than just seeing patients to do that's actually a productive task, you know, not just, you know, playing video games or you know, watching sports, but you're actually feeling like you're doing something productive, and you actually are. The decisions that you're making could result in you making an additional $100,000, $200,000 that year. So it's, you know, you're doing things that are actually really important, and it is it's really nice to have something else to do. So finally, do I recommend becoming a practice owner? Would I do it again? Would I recommend that other people become practice owners, you know, a year, 2 years out of school? And assuming that you are in a life situation where you have some stability and you are able to live in a place, at least for a few years, you're happy staying there, then you absolutely should be an owner. Don't try to do a startup. Don't do anything that's risky, but find an established business that is already producing a solid amount of income. You come in and just plan on keeping the income that the dentist before you was making. And, you know, maybe you'll be able to grow that to even more, but there's no risk but there's so much less risk because you already have an established patient base. And those patients have been coming to that practice for so many years. And you're going to take over the business. You're going to be making more money. You're going to have more control. And it's just a really, really good option. So I definitely recommend practice ownership, especially when you approach it strategically and do things right. All right. So if you're watching, don't be afraid to leave a comment, ask any type of questions you might have. Make sure to subscribe so you can see future videos like this. Let me know if you liked the format of this video, more of me talking and telling stories and answering questions. I'm going to have a video coming up where I answer a question that a previous person had asked in a comment. So make sure to leave any questions you have in the comments. If you're considering going to dental school, I think it's a great career if you like being around and working with people. If you're in dental school and are trying to decide if you want to be an owner, go ahead and start looking. Go ahead and start reaching out to practice brokers. You probably are going to want to work for at least a little bit of time as an associate, but start looking for practices and you never know what kind of opportunity you might find. If you're already out of school and you're working as an associate, then you just need to get started right now and finding a practice to buy, assuming you're happy with where you're living. If you're not, find out where you do want to live and then find a practice to buy there, because you are giving up so much opportunity. There's such an opportunity cost when you work as an associate. You're making, $200,000, $300,000 a year when you could be making double that as an owner, and you're building equity in a business. So take charge of your career and become a practice owner.